Well, God bless you. I'd like to continue our study of the book of Romans. This next wonderful section in chapter 2, we're going to start from verses 12 and go all the way through chapter 3, verse 20. In this wonderful section, we're going to have a further explanation of what has been previously stated, the first couple of sections in Romans. And really, I would like to start by reminding you that in chapter 2 in verse 1 it says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest. For therein that thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same thing." Anyone who judges is guilty of doing the exact same things according to God's word here. Therefore verse 2 says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." God's judgment is true. That's why it said in verse 11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." It will be God's way. God's word is His will, and it will be according to His judgment, and His judgment is just. No man is going to stand before God with his thinking or his judgment in any way, shape, or form. That's why in verse 12 it talks about here, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Anyone, whether they be in the law or outside of the law, whether they be a Gentile or whether they be a Jew, they are going to be judged according to that law. Because it's not the hearers or the ones who just heard the word of God that are just, but those who live it and do it. If you take your Bibles here and go to James for a minute, in chapter 2, makes a very, very plain statement, a very beautiful and plain statement that goes right along with this section here in Romans. James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." There are many people who believe that knowing the word of God is enough. But God says those that do it, they will be justified. But at the same time, the book of James says if you break one point in the law, if you offend in one point, he is guilty of all. If you're going to be just by the keeping of the law, you need to keep the entire law and not break even one point. This is a major understanding that people have to have. Because the Jews of this time in the first century believed that because they knew the law, they were just with God. Because they were circumcised, they were just with God. But this section in Romans is going to teach just exactly what God's perspective is on those things. Verse 14 says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." This must have been quite an eye-opener for those who were Jews in Rome at that particular time. Because, as I said before, the Jews, which you can see very plainly in the Gospels, the Jews really believed that because they were God's chosen people, they had received the law, the circumcision, all of these things, that they were automatically saved because they had those things. God very clearly says to the Gentiles, if the Gentiles do those things through conscience, if they live according to God's rule, even in their conscience, that they would be also acceptable. Because all men are going to be judged according to this gospel. All men are going to be judged by Jesus Christ according to this gospel of God. See, there is no respect of persons with God. No matter who you are, a Jew or a Gentile, God's judgment is just. It is the same for all men. Verse 17 continues, "Behold, art thou called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has a form of knowledge, and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest others, teachest thou not thyself?" The question is, don't you teach yourself? "Thou that preachest that a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorreth idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through the breaking of the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Again, we come to this thing, this phrase, "as it is written." It has been written in the Old Testament scriptures. If you take your Bibles and go back to 2 Samuel, in chapter 12, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, God sends Nathan, a prophet of God, to David, the king. He sends Nathan to David to reprove the king for the adultery that he has had or is having with Bathsheba. In fact, it's more than that. He has also had Uriah killed. And it says here, in verse 14 of chapter 12, it says, "Howbeit, because by this deed, because of what you've done, David, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." See, when the people of God, when their deeds are contrary to God and contrary to his law, God is the one whose name is blasphemed. God is the one who gets a black eye, so to speak. And God is very concerned with his name. It is his people that he has given his word, that he has given his law to, that should uphold his word and his honor and his majesty more than anything else. But even the great King David, who repented of his sin, who God forgave, this action or this deed would cause the Gentiles and those around him, the enemies of God, to blaspheme the name of God. Let's go back to Romans. In Romans chapter 2, we just read this whole section here from verse 17 through 24. And here it is, the people of God, the people of Israel, the Jews, they had the word of God. They had his law. Yet, you know what? They also sinned. It's not that each one of them committed adultery or each one of them committed sacrilege, but it's the fact that all men sin. And these, having the word of God, just like David, fell short, and in their falling short, God's name is blasphemed. Verse 25 continues, "For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." The circumcision that was given as a covenant to Abraham, that circumcision was done. That didn't get you in. That didn't mean that you were saved or that you were doing God's will. That circumcision was given as a token to Abraham, because Abraham believed the promise of God that God had given him. And God said, if you truly believe this, then you will do this token. You will become circumcised because you do believe. Circumcision only profits, the outward circumcision only profits an individual if they truly do believe what God has said in His Word. And circumcision, or having a knowledge of the law and the Scriptures, is not an automatic to entrance into eternal life. It is the doing of it and the keeping of it. And we continue on here. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not their uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, whom by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The circumcision, the belief, the doing of God's word is not the outward appearance. It's not just the knowing the Scripture, and it is not just the circumcision, the cutting of the foreskin, that makes one a real, genuine Jew. Remember, he is speaking to those in verse 17 that, behold, thou that are called a Jew and resteth in the law. These people who are called Jews and rest in the law at this particular time, during the book of Romans and during the first century church, they had the doctrinal belief that they, if they were the children of Abraham, that if they had the Scriptures and they were circumcised, then they were guaranteed eternal life. That judgment that they made, that theology that they had, is wrong. The teaching of the Scripture is contrary to that. All throughout the Scripture, as it was written, even the great King David, who transgressed God's word, was judged by God, and he gave occasion for the Gentiles to blaspheme, the enemies of God to blaspheme against God's name. It has never been about outward things. It has never been about outward appearances. Chapter 3 continues. So then, what advantage then hath the Jew? Great question. What's the point of being a Jew if it's not the outward circumcision, if it's not just the having of the law? What advantage hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the Word of God. They had every advantage. They had this Word of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Another great question. God forbid, the answer. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. This great quote from Psalm 51 also comes with David. David speaking about the sin that he had done with Bathsheba, and the murder that he had committed with Uriah. He pleaded out to God that, God, whatever you do to me, whatever your judgment is, let it be just, because you are the one that's just. I deserve whatever it is that you pour out in my life. that God would be the one who is just. What a tremendous quote. And again, the book of Romans sends us back to the Old Testament to verify that these truths are the same from the beginning of the book all the way through. Nothing has changed here. God's judgment, His ways, His manner, none of it has changed. It is the truth from cover to cover. This great gospel, it is the same gospel. So, in verse 5 it says, "But if our unrighteousness condemn the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance?" I speak as a man. "God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported of, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just." There were individuals out there saying that Paul was teaching this gospel that, you know, to make God better, to make God greater, to make God more just, to show God's goodness and glory, that we should go out there and sin more. That the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie. In other words, to show how great God is, we should go out and sin and lie and do these evil things. This is a slanderous report of what Paul was teaching, and not so. See, Paul, as we're going to see in the book of Romans, is going to show, and actually maybe even by the end of this section, or the next section, it's going to show that Paul, as he got this revelation from God, was reteaching all people the truth and how this truth should be understood, this great gospel. That is a gospel that we are to live by faith. It's not one of works, but it is one of faith. And they took, just like, as people do today, they consider that this gospel that we try to teach is a, well, do it, you know, God will forgive you, everything is okay, it's as a license to sin. That was a slanderous report, because that is not what God wants communicated at all. And that's why so much goes into the explanations here in this section of Romans, is to show what God's judgment is and how he thinks of the whole thing. Verse 9 continues, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before prove both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin." Tremendous verse here. Is one person better than the other? In no wise. Is the Jew better than the Gentiles? No. See, the Jews having the law, yet if you violated the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Therefore, you've broken the law. And those that broke the law are worthy of death. If the Gentiles had done the law through conscience sake, they would have been just. But guess what? No one ever did. It is unreasonable, number one, to believe that a person could keep the law without knowing the law. But rather than our logically thinking this through, the scriptures continue here. After proving that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin, it says here in verse 10 of chapter 3, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And this, again, the scriptures of the Old Testament confirm and prove that this gospel that Paul is preaching is unchanged. God, in Psalm 14, verses 1 through 3, is quoted here. It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that all the world may become guilty before God. This whole section from verse 10 on are one quote after the other from the Psalms and the other Old Testament scriptures. I urge you to go back and to find these quotes, to look at them, like from Psalm 14 verses 1 through 3. Read the entire Psalm, and you will see that the psalmist David actually... Well, let's go back there for right now. Psalm 14. Give you an understanding of what I'm speaking about. These quotes are not there just for show. They are there to teach what God doesn't want to have to reteach in this section. It says, "The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eateth up my people as they eat bread, and they call not upon the Lord. There were they in great fear of God is in the generation of the righteous. You have shame and counsel for the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? They have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Here in this psalm, we see the ungodliness, and that God looks on the people of the earth, and there are none that seek after God. There are none really, truly, that have the fear of the Lord. Going back also in Psalm 53, in verse 1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. Every man of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eateth up the people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, and where no fear was of God, hath scattered the bones of him that encamped against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, for God bringeth back the captivity of his people Jacob, and shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." See, the Jews that had the word of God, just as that example in 2 Samuel with David. When David sinned, it caused the name of God to be blasphemed. The Gentiles who came up against the people of God and all the ungodly that came against the people of God had absolutely no respect for the Lord or for the things of His Word. These also, the Lord God Almighty looks down upon man and sees that there is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none. This is the story, so to speak, or the resume of all mankind. Those who had the Word of God and those who did not have it. The resume of man is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God Almighty. There is none righteous. And this has been echoed throughout the Scriptures. And we'll pick it up here again in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, whatever the Old Testament law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. It says to those who are under the law, that, and the purpose is that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. You know what the Old Testament law does? It brings man to his knees. It shows him that he cannot by his works or his deed be just with God. That is the whole point of the Old Testament law. Now, let me just explain this a little bit. When the children of Israel and the law of Moses came and God showed them the way of life and the way of death, He showed them the blessings if they did it and the way of death if they wouldn't, and all the curses in that Old Testament law. He said, if you do the law, you're going to be blessed. And if you don't do the law, you're going to receive all of these curses. Well, as you read, the people disobeyed. They disobeyed constantly, and they would not do what God had said. God had Moses set up the tabernacle. The tabernacle was to show the people of God that God was with them. But no one could approach the tabernacle. The tabernacle was set up in such a way that the high priest himself would have to go through a vigorous cleansing ritual before he would even be permitted to serve in that tabernacle. And then he was only allowed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year to serve on the Day of Atonement. No other time was a man permitted to come into the presence of God in that physical tabernacle on earth. The priest had to do the sacrifices for the people because the people were not holy enough to come before God and give the sacrifices. All of this showed that there was a great separation between God and His people, because He is a holy, holy, holy God, and the people unholy. The garments they wore, everything in the Old Testament law showed that no one was able to come before God on his own. And when even the priests violated those precepts, they died. When the sons of Aaron violated those precepts and they went places and did things that they weren't supposed to, they died right there, dropped dead. God is a holy God, and all the Old Testament scripture, all of it, brings an individual to one great understanding. It says here in verse 19 that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. It brings you to your knees. Humility. Humility is where this scripture, when you read it in the Old Testament law, it brings you. Verse 20, What a tremendous verse this is. Therefore, the conclusion of it is this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the other thing that the law does. It makes known what sin is. No one is justified by doing the law. We're going to find out later on in Romans that it is just impossible for an individual to perfectly keep the law. And by doing the law, because no one could, all men had sinned, all men came short of the glory of God. Therefore, by the doing of the law, no flesh shall be justified. See, the law of Moses was never intended for salvation. The law of Moses was intended to make known sin, and it was intended to humble the individual so that they would know their place. When we go back to Romans chapter 1, and what do we see? We see for those, what God expected was God expected people to believe what he had said. To believe what he had said, to believe this wonderful gospel. And those who would not humble themselves, those who would not bring themselves to believe that there was a God, that those people are going to be judged. It has always been about man getting humble with God. It is always about man understanding his place rather than justifying himself before this holy God. I hope that paints a good picture and gives you a little bit of understanding. So, how is this gospel to be believed? What is, now that we've seen that there is no respect of persons with God, we have seen that the Jews, it's not just the having of the law, but the doing of it and the keeping of it, and that if you break one law in the law of Moses, you are guilty of the whole law. We see that circumcision doesn't profit unless you keep the law. And we see here that the Gentiles also, basically, God has said throughout the scripture that there is none righteous, no, not one. So Paul has shown the resume of man that all are guilty before God because all have sinned. And that was in verse 9 of chapter 3. So what is it? What is it? If the law wasn't to keep the keeping of the law, the doing of your own works was not for salvation, but to humble an individual, to shut their mouth, so to speak, to humble them, bring them to their knees, and show them what sin was, then this wonderful 21st verse, but now the righteousness of God without the law, the right way of God without the law, is manifest, being witnessed by that very law and the prophets. This has been written throughout the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All mankind has sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no one going to receive eternal life by their works or by their selfish self-justification of their works. It is by God's righteous way. God's righteous way, which is by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. What is the gospel? concerning Jesus Christ that we started with here in Romans, this gospel concerning Jesus Christ, is this righteous way of God for those who have faith on what Christ would do, on what Christ would accomplish, on what God had promised His Messiah would carry out. These are the individuals who believe the gospel, have humbled themselves before God, and these are the individuals who understand that their justification is by the faith of what Christ would do.